Good morning.
Good morning.
Back in June, I was asked to have the sermon. And I said, fine. Well, that was the Sunday that the pastor was going for conference. Well, as you all know, he didn't make it to conference. So I said, okay, Lord, guess this isn't the right time. Then later on in June, we needed another fill-in. So I thought, okay, this will be my turn. But no, it wasn't. Someone else filled in. And that was fine. Well, this morning, I get to share with you what the Lord has laid on my heart. The scripture I picked out this morning is from Philippians 4:4-9. And you know, as I look back, I think there was probably a reason why I was not to share this with you before. Jim and I have went through some difficult times here lately. And I think the Lord was saying, okay, you've picked out this scripture. You can tell the people about it, but can you actually do it? Can you actually rejoice when things don't go the way you think they should? A while back, Jim was in the hospital with back surgery. It was just to be an overnight, well, not even overnight, just outpatient. You know, a few hours, we'd be back on the road and be home. Doctor came in and said the surgery went well, but I think I'll keep him overnight in case he can't handle the pain. Because you have a long ways to go, and I don't want you to get out there and have him in terrible pain and have no way to take care of it, and you'll have to bring him back. So, okay. That was on Friday when I left the hospital room. He was doing well, talking to everybody that came along, you know, my gym. Saturday morning I went. Things were not going well at all. The nurse came in, said, you need to set up so you can eat your breakfast. They couldn't even roll him over. He was in so much pain. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, Lord, what now? And I'm supposed to rejoice? But the doctor came in and said, don't worry, everything is still fine. We just need to regulate his medicine. So the day went on. And when I left that night, that evening, they still had not been able to get him out of bed. He was still in a tremendous amount of pain. And I'm thinking, okay, rejoice. God is in control. And we have a good doctor. Things will be okay. So I thought, well, one more night in the motel. Hopefully we'll get to go home tomorrow. But I wouldn't count on it. The next morning when I went, there was Jim sitting up eating his breakfast. Oh, things have really changed here. The occupational therapist came in and said, you've got to pass what I have you do before you can go. I said, okay, I'll leave the room. You can work with him. When I came back, he was fully dressed, sitting up in his chair with his cap on. He was ready to go home. I'm saying, okay, Lord, thank you. So then we waited for the doctor. The doctor didn't think he was going home that day either, so he had not been in a hurry to make his rounds. Finally, at 4 o'clock, he came in, Jim wasn't in his bed. He looked at me kind of funny, and I said, he's in the restroom. About that time, Jim opened the door and walked out. And the doctor looked at me and he says, it's a miracle. I said, no, it's answered prayer. I had called home and talked to Justin and said, put Jim's name on the prayer chain. People had prayed for him. Things were better. And the doctor says, well, the way you're moving, I don't see any object in keeping you for another night. So we went home. And the Lord has been very good to us because it has healed. God has healed Jim's back. And he is walking very well today, and we are very thankful for that. My scripture for this morning says in Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Let's go back to the first verse. Rejoice in the Lord. I will say it again. Rejoice. Who wrote this? Who can tell me? Who wrote Philippians? Paul. Where was Paul? He was in prison. He was writing this to the church of Philippi, and the Christians there were suffering at that time because of their commitment to Christ. In this verse, it says, rejoice in the Lord. This is a command for development of a cheerful attitude in every circumstances to be the dominant thing in the Christian life. Paul was telling the people to rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice always. We are urged to rejoice in the Lord. This verse is a call, not a feeling, but a decision, a deeply rooted confidence that God exists, that he is in control, and that he is good. But how can a person rejoice when there is more month left than there is money? When the doctor says the results from your test are not good? When the black clouds roll in and the crop you were counting on to pay the bills, which is now laying on the ground? When your loved one is taken from you suddenly? The simple phrase, in the Lord, provides the essential key in every circumstance. A time of suffering is a time when rejoicing in the Lord is the only way to survive. The next time you fear the future, rejoice in the Lord's sovereignty. Rejoice in what he has accomplished. Rejoice that he is able to do what you cannot do. Fill your mind with thoughts of God. In Genesis 1 and 2, it says, God is the creator. In Hebrews 13, 8, it says, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In Psalms 102, 27, it says, his years will never end. He is king, supreme ruler, and overlord of all history. The mind cannot at the same time be full of God and be full of fear. He has everything in control. Let him take care of it. Give it all to Jesus and rejoice. And then the verse goes on. It says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Those who are truly rejoicing in the Lord at all times will be characterized by gentleness. Gentleness describes a temperament that is seasoned and mature. It envisions an attitude that is fitting to the occasion, level-headed and tempered. The gentle reaction is one of steadfastness and fairness. The gentleness is evident to all, to family members. Your friends sense the difference. The contagious calm person is the one who says, God is in control. His gentleness is evident everywhere around you. And it says, it is, the next part of the verse tells us how the gentleness is. The Lord is near. You are not alone. You may feel alone, but God is always with you. In the Old Testament, God repeatedly told his people that he was with them. In Genesis 15:1, God said to Abram, do not be afraid. I am your shield, your exceeding great reward. And then in Genesis 21:17, an angel said to Hagar, do not be afraid. God has heard. And then God told Joshua in Joshua 1:9, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. We can calmly take our concerns to God because he is as near as a breath. In verse 6 it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Do not be anxious about anything? Assurance that the Lord is near also encouraged Christians to stop being anxious. This verse is a call, not a feeling, but a decision, and deeply rooted confidence that God exists, that he is in control, and that he is good. Do not try to control things, because God is in control. You can't run the world, but you can entrust it to God. In Psalms 121, it says, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Lift your eyes. Don't get lost in your troubles. Believe that God was speaking to you in Romans 8:28. And we know that in everything, God works for the good of those who love him. We must trust in God to take care of everything. The more we trust, the less anxiety we have. In Matthew 5:45, God is the one who causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. In Matthew 6:26, God is the one who feeds the birds and watches the sparrows. God is in charge of everything, even the details of our lives. With this verse, the apostle calls us to take action against anxiety. Until this point, he has been assuring us God's character, his sovereignty, mercy, and presence. Now it is our turn to act on this belief. We choose prayer over despair. Peace happens when people pray. God calls us to pray about everything. Only by praying with thanksgiving in every situation is it possible to stop being anxious about anything. The term prayer, supplication, and requests are similar, but not identical. Prayer is a general devotion. The word includes worship and adoration. Supplication suggests humility. We simply offer humble requests. A request is exactly that, a specific petition. We tell God what we want. Like Luke 18:41, when Jesus asked the blind man, "What do you want?" Obviously, it was apparent, but still he wanted to know. He wants us to tell him exactly what we want. As God's children, we honor him when we tell him exactly what we need. A specific prayer is an opportunity for us to see God work. Sometimes we see the answer right away, and sometimes it is answered when God's time is right. And then it says, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving gives the right attitude and perspective in prayer. Thanksgiving means giving God the glory in everything, making room for him, casting our cares on him. Let it be his care. Without thanksgiving, prayer becomes merely a way of complaining to God about all the bad things that are or might be happening. Trust each anxious thought with a grateful one and prepare yourself for a day of joy. And then verse 7 continues, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the opposite of anxiety. It is tranquility that comes when believers commit all their cares to God in prayer and worry about them no more. As we do our part, rejoice in the Lord, pursue a gentle spirit, pray about everything, and cling to gratitude, God does his part. He constructs a fortress around our hearts and minds, protecting us from the attacks of the devil. He bestows upon us the peace of God. No, this is not peace from God. Our Father gives us the very peace of God. This kind of peace is not human achievement. It is a gift from above. In John 14:27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. I do not give as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Jesus promises you his vintage peace, the peace that calmed his heart when he was falsely accused, the peace that steadied his voice when he spoke to Pilate, the peace that kept his thoughts clear and heart pure as he hung on the cross. This was his peace. This can be your peace. When we trust God in prayer, God gives us peace. You can have peace in the midst of the storm because you are not alone. You belong to God. Verse 8 says, "Finally, brothers, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellently praiseworthy, think about such things." Paul writes up his directive for Christian life with one long sentence containing two appeals. Think about these things and put them into practice. Whatever we think and is in our minds will sooner or later determine our speech and actions. So be careful. Verse 9, "Whatever you have learned or received from me or seen in me, put into practice." Paul lived what he preached, and he preached by his living. We should do the same. The only Bible some people see is the one we show them by what we do and say. And the peace of God will be with you. God will be with you in this turbulent world and bring unity and harmony to you and through you to the church. In finishing up, let us look at this again. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord." always. Let your requests be known to God. Pray with thanksgiving. God's peace will be with you. Think about the things that are good and worthy of praise and practice them. Let us pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and for your watchful care over us. And Lord, we thank you that we could come and study your word this morning. We pray that you will help us to use this passage in this coming week. Help us to rejoice in circumstances, no matter what they be. And Lord, we thank you that you are always with us and that you will guide us and will direct us. For Jesus' sake, amen.